Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
I want to take a little walk through the Bible if we can, and there's some things that have been on my heart recently, and I just feel like sharing it with you, if that's all right. Is that all right?
Yeah, it's all right.
All right. Nobody brought their tomatoes. I've been reading recently in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll be reading out of that, Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll be starting at verse 4. And I begin to look at this letter that Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and for those of you that have studied this word, you know that Paul has spent about 3 years with this church. He stayed a long amount of time with them for many, many hours, many, many days, teaching them and grooming them and bringing them up in a way and trying to make a people out of them. Amen. And there's so much depth to this short book in the Bible. And I begin to read chapter 2, and there's this idea and this agenda that God has that he relayed and put heavy on Paul's heart that he wants the church of Ephesus to know. And God showed it to me. So I'm going to show it to you. I think that's how the word of God works, right? Right? God gives you a word so you can share it with someone else. Amen? After it's done messing you up, right? And gets you on your face and you're done bawling it out. You can take the principles of that and share it with the world. Amen? That's the power of the word of God. It's valuable, right? It's multi-purpose. It's the original multi-purpose tool. Amen? And I read in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, verse 4. Helps if you're on the right page. If you're there, say amen. 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 Verse 4 says this: "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Somebody said he loved us. Somebody said he loved us. I don't know about you, but I read scriptures like that. And I know there's more to this story, but I kind of have to stop right there because I understand this. In his mercy, he loved us. He didn't have to. Right? And then God corrected me. God corrected me and he said, love isn't a choice that he has to make every single day. It's in his nature. It's who he is. And God says, I'm going to love you because that's who I am. If I'm going to be in your life, my love is going to be in your life. Amen? So I keep reading and I understand this one thing through and through and throughout this entire scripture, throughout this entire Bible, I get this one fact about who God is and that he loves me. Now, if that ever gets boring for you, there's an altar we need to revisit. Amen? I know it's not Valentine's Day, but I really feel like if God wants to do what he wants to do through us in our city and in our church, we have to get this idea figured out, how he loves us. Why does he love me, and is this for me? And it's something I've been messing around with and trying to wrestle with my entire life living for God. The love of God has been something so foreign to me that it was hard to apply it to my life. Amen. And God gave me these scriptures, and I see that the love of God is real, and for a long time I didn't think it was for me, right? So I started to call up some people and text some people. And I'm like, hey, when did you know that God's love was real? And when did you know that God's love was for you? It's something that I want to know because I know my story, but it's interesting to hear other people's story. Amen? Yeah. If you look around, you see there's people here, yeah? And every single person here has a story. We've been through some stuff. Amen? Some of you look like you've been through a lot. Even today, amen. Some of you don't look like what you've been through, though. And that's by the grace of God, amen. If we could spend time and tell each other our stories, it would be shocking. And oftentimes, it's one of those things where we're like, well, my story's better, and I went through this, and it was worse. Oh, yeah, well, it was this. I've done that with some people, and like, oh, yeah, well, how about this? Well, how about this, and how about this? And it's like trying to one-up each other on how stupid you were.
Who's the biggest idiot of all?
Exactly. Speaking of that, I'm going to put my timer on. And it's silly when we begin to compare each other's stories when everybody has a story here. Some people have been raised in this. Amen. They've been raised in this truth of living for God, and it's all they know. It's the only life that they know is living for God. And to me, that's like beautiful. That's like the unicorn of testimonies. And then there's some people who actually had to grow up in this. That makes sense?
Yep. Yeah.
Some people were brought up in it, and some people grew up in it. I'm the ones who kind of tried to grow up in this.
Yes, brother.
I needed a lot of growing up. And my wife said, amen. I say that we all have a story because we all have this commonality here. And it's this, is that in our situations, in our sin, in our struggle in life, Jesus met us. Jesus stepped into where we were, no matter how dark or how crooked or how messed up and confusing it was. Jesus stepped into our life and became everything we needed at that point. He became our deliverer, our redeemer, our healer. He began to make the crooked path straight, the scripture says, amen. Jesus stepped into our lives. Every single person also shares that common goal, that common story, is that it might not have been what you went through, and it might not look like what you went through. But we do have this commonality of a Savior stepping into our lives and completely changing it. That's why we sit here today, amen? We sit here today because Jesus Christ got off of his throne, amen? He left heaven and robed himself in flesh, all right? And he began to walk on earth's dust and begin to dwell around people that are continually wicked in their heart and evil continually. And he walked with us and he loved us and he reached for us. And at one point, he even contemplated, do I really got to die for these people? And then he said, you know what? Not my will. These people need this. These people need a Savior. They need me to sacrifice my whole body, my everything, so that they can be redeemed. I'm thankful for a Savior. Amen.
Amen.
I'm thankful that I have the Word of God here. Amen.
Amen.
We have a crazy world we're in. And there's a world out there, there's a city out there, there's people we run into all the time that need to know the Jesus that we know.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen? They need to know how he changed you, how he stepped into your life, how he talks to you, how he walks with you from day to day. Amen?
Amen.
Just on before service, I heard about a dream and a scripture God gave somebody. God sent someone a dream and gave someone a scripture. That's beautiful stuff. I love to hear how God is still working today in the lives of people. I serve a God who's alive. Amen?
Amen.
I serve a God who's very active in the life that I live. When I turn to him and look to him, he's there. When I'm going around my thing, he gives me the smack in the head, right? And he's there. Amen? Sometimes it's more smack than... But I feel like I have an assignment today to relay a message that God has put on my heart to give you today for what he wants to do in this hour in this city. We've had this message preached to us actually quite a bit in the last year through many different voices and many different people coming up and preaching. And the songs I hear, like, it's overwhelming. I'll go onto social media and it's there. It's boom, boom, boom everywhere I look. And it's just there. Like God's trying to tell his church something. Like we need to get this figured out before he comes back because we don't got time to play around.
Amen.
We don't have time to play the games. Amen?
Amen.
That makes sense. I want to read some scripture with, if you could read with me. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. I want to keep reading though. I'm under the influence tonight.
Amen.
That he loved me.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
He loves me. Okay? And that's a high that I won't come down from. Amen? I'm convinced, like Paul said, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Amen? Does that make sense? So I want to keep reading with the idea that he said in verse 4 that he loved us. Because as I keep reading this chapter, it gets better and better and better. If I start at verse 11 here, it says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in the time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. but he loved us.
Yes, yes.
Scripture says we were without hope. We were lost. We were strangers. But he already established he loved us. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
How beautiful.
Because he loved us. For he is our peace.
Amen.
He had made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Because he loved us. He took our walls down. Do we hear what the scripture is saying? He removed our walls. The very thing that separated us from God and him. Every excuse and worry and fear. It's all been put away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because he loved us. Not yet. Okay. All right. 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. He made a new person because he loved us. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
Hallelujah.
Wow. I got access to God. I can have his Spirit because he loved me. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners. Somebody hear this. You are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You are part of the family because he loved you. You're not afar off. You're not a stranger. You're not separated anymore because you can't meet certain criteria and you don't measure up anymore. You're not that person anymore. The love of God and the blood of Jesus Christ has separated that wall and brought you close to him. Amen, somebody. It's because he loved you. Amen. It's because he loved you. Verse 20. And are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, we just read that, but I didn't really understood it till I started looking at it. And I'll tell you what I got. 21 says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit.
Hallelujah!
You are the body of Christ. If we understand what scripture is saying here, is that God reached down where I was at and he stepped into my life because he loved me. He shed his blood because he loved me. He separated the walls and brought every wall I had up and every excuse and got rid of all that because he loved me. He stepped into my life and made me a new person because he loved me. He took away every crack and blemish and want and need and got rid of it all because he loved me. He stepped into where I was at because he loved me. Amen. And he didn't just leave me there separated, just me and him, but he picked me up and he set me on a foundation and a lineage of the apostles and the prophets of old time. How many gets this? These people that we read in the Bible, we see them as so holy and used of God and mightily used and sacrificing their entire lives. And they're like unreachable, man, if I could just get a portion of where they were at. But the Bible says that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're part of that foundation. We're set on the very foundation of Isaiah and Ezekiel and Moses and Abraham. We're part of that lineage, that foundation. We're the building blocks, amen, for our world so that God can keep adding and building the body of Christ. And it's all because he loved us. And when you gather here, what he's saying, he's creating this huge, massive foundation to pour out his Spirit into. Amen. That's his whole goal, is to fill us with his Spirit so that we can keep building the kingdom so he can glorify himself. Is that an old message for anybody tonight? If it is, we got some praying to do. I don't ever want the love of God to get boring. Like, I've heard this before. Yeah, okay. Okay, but he loved me. Okay, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, he's a God of love. He loves. Yeah. When you understand that he loves you, it helps you get through your stuff.
Amen.
When you understand the love of God, what he actually did because of his love. We're going to celebrate Easter, right? Yep. And that's all about Easter bunnies and baskets. I get that. But some of you might not know this, but it's because that he sacrificed himself. He died and he rose again and he took keys and gave them to the church. Amen. And because he rose again, we can rise again. I don't know if anyone still gets excited about their salvation anymore. If they, I mean, if we were to really understand where we were, that's every now and then we get a glimpse of where we were. I got a notification, a Facebook notification of a memory that I posted last year. And it sends me like 3 or 4 things or 10 things, whatever I posted on that day. And I'm like, oh, I forgot about that. I forgot about that. And like, why did I do that? And Facebook is trying to remind me of something I posted last year. But I don't care what I did last year, honestly. I don't remember most of it. I'm trying to pursue and follow the hand and the will of God. Amen. And it's his love that keeps me here. It's the world that wants to take me back. Amen. It's the world that wants to remind me of what it was like here and in this and that. But I got to remind the world and I got to remind the devil that it's waking up in my own throw up is not for me anymore. Being caught up in jail and being hurt and hurting other people, that's not a life for me. Having my wife on my kid, I mean, the whole mess of what it was like before Christ was just that. It was a mess.
Yep. That's what it was.
And the world will show these glimpses and highlights of what it seemed like and what it wants you to remember. But how many know that through the love and the grace of God, we actually see what it is? And that's filth.
Yep.
And that's old.
Amen.
And it's not going to make it into heaven. Amen. But the devil's such a liar. And he wants to remind us. And I heard it said like this: the shame that he carries, he's trying to project onto you so that you can carry it. The guilt that he has, the hurt and the condemnation, the damnation that's going to be on him, he wants to project it onto you so that you have to carry that load every single day. And hopefully you don't get to make it to your God. And I've lived that life. I've lived that life after coming from God, after all the filth. And I step into the house of God and I get baptized in Jesus' name and I get filled with the Holy Ghost. But then I still carry the condemnation of my past because I like to remember some stuff.
Yeah.
I remember this and I remember that. But I know this one thing. The Word of God is sure.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
I heard it this week is that every spirit has a sword. Every spirit, good and bad, has a sword. And if the devil's going to come at me with a sword.
Come on. Come on, brother. There you go.
I'm going to use mine.
Yeah.
I'm going to use mine because I understand some principles of the Word of God. And here's the fact of this, is that I learned coming to God that my words didn't mean a whole lot in this living for God stuff. I understood that I had no value. I didn't have anything to bring to the table. I understood that I'm getting into a fight that I have no authority and no power. The Sons of Sceva was preached over and over and over, and I heard that these people tried to move outside of their anointing and their gifting, and they got beat up, right?
Yeah.
And I heard that, and I heard that. I'm like, well, that ain't going to be me. I'm just going to stand back here, and I'm going to keep my mouth shut, and if it's going to come out, it's going to be a scripture, because then it's between them and God, right? So I learned to pray the scripture, and I learned to speak about the scripture, and I learned to eventually learn to speak scriptures over me. I learned that in 1 John, I understand a principle is that I love him because he first loved me.
Right. Yep.
And if I could keep that one main thing, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me.
Right.
I'm not that because he loved me. I'm going through this trial, but I won't stay in this trial because he loves me.
Yeah, that's right. I
have these needs in my life, and I'm not sure where they're going to come from, but God's not going to leave me wanting or begging for bread because he loves me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have to stay sick and wounded in my body because by his stripes I'm healed because he loves me.
Yeah.
When I was lost, he became my way, amen,
yeah.
Because he loved me. When I was hurting, he healed me because he loves me. In the world, when I was spitting in his face, when I could care nothing to do with him, when I care less about the things of God and the people of God, when I didn't care about any of that stuff, he still loved me.
Yep.
He still died for me. That's so foreign to the world.
Yes, it is.
They want a love that has a visible string attached so they know where the parameters are. They want to know, okay, if I commit to this, what's going to happen to me? what's my obligation. But when we understand the love of God, he freely gives. He's giving his love. He's giving his love. He's not giving heaven away for free. He's giving his love away for free. He doesn't wink at our ignorance and our sin any longer. Sin is still condemnable. There is a place in hell for a sinner. But there's a place in heaven for a saint. Amen. The born-again believer can make it into the gates of heaven. Scripture declares that, yeah?
Yeah.
Is this boring?
No.
Okay. Okay. It took me a little while to realize that the love of God was real and that it was for me. But like I said, I had to call some people. One guy let me know that he didn't know the love of God was real until he left God. When he left God, he got hooked. He got addicted. And he was out on the streets addicted to drugs. And he still would feel the presence of God reaching for him. He would be in a place partying and he would feel so out of place and uncomfortable that he couldn't be there and he had to go home. And he would just weep and cry. He wouldn't come to church and pray through. He would just feel so guilty and ashamed. But he didn't feel the love of God until he left God. But that's what brought him back. He knew it was real because he understood this. If I'm stuck in my sin, and there's a God out there who will love me above my sin and see me as his son, then I have a way to come back to him.
Yeah.
Another guy was drugged to church over and over and over. Against his will, he was brought to the house of God over and over and over. And the preacher would preach, and he'd feel the tug. Come to the altar, come to the altar. How many know that preaching and that tug and brought him to an altar? And he got filled with the Holy Ghost at an altar.
Yeah.
He knew the love of God was real because there was a man of God preaching and pulling. God used a person to reach and to pull. Another guy I knew, he says he knew the love of God was real when five people came and prayed for him at different times. And God healed his body. He didn't ask for prayer. People just came to him and started praying for him. And God healed his body. And he knew at that moment that God was real. He knew God was real because he didn't deserve it. He deserved the pain that he felt in his body, he said. But because God sent people, people he didn't know, to pray for him, God showed him, I can heal you. Another guy said he felt the love of God and knew it was for him while he was listening to a song. Told myself I was going to listen to the song, but I haven't yet. Timothy Spell sings a song called Christian Heritage. I haven't heard it. Apparently it moved him. He knew through a song that God loved him. God used a song to minister to him. Another friend of mine said at 16 years old, he said there was a spirit of depression and suicide on him. And he was always alone, always isolated. And he said, no matter where he went, there's always this minister that would come to him and give him a hug and try to talk with him. And he would walk with him and take him out to ice cream. And he would begin to spend time with him and counsel him and talk with him through his stuff. And he said, but he still played games with God till he was at a conference one time. And the guy preaching the conference stopped and went and prophesied over him. Said, God has things for him. God's going to use him mightily. And it shook him. And it brought him to an altar, and he said for 2 hours he stayed at an altar praying. And he prayed through to the Holy Ghost, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost in that 2 hours and just weeping and boogers, you know, one of those good, good, good prayer meetings. And he expected everybody to be gone. He expected everybody to be gone. But he knew the love of God was real when he looked up and he felt the presence of God. He felt clean, and he looked, and there was people around him still praying for him. When they had every reason to live, God put people around him. He put his spirit in him and he put people around him. And he knew that the love of God was real. He was no longer alone. And God said that through the prophet that he would be used mightily. And to this day, he still preaches the gospel in our state. He preaches this gospel when the devil tried to take him out. When the devil tried to get him to believe a lie that he had no purpose anymore and that everything he did in his life before, he'd never be able to be used of God. He'd never have any value to the kingdom of God. But God said, no, I don't care what that liar is saying. I'm going to speak a word into your life. You're my son and you are profitable to me. You are mine. I will use you for my glory. I will give you purpose. I will give you understanding. I'll give you your mind back. I'll give you a family. I'll give you friends. And he loves us. He loves us, and I hear these stories. I hear these stories and they're beautiful because I know the same stories are in here. We all have a story, amen? We all have a story of how God reached us. Aren't we thankful for how God reached us, amen? And your story is so unique to you. Your story is so unique to you that it's irrefutable. They can argue facts all day long, but you know what God has done in your life. You know where you were when God reached to you, amen? And man, when I hear their stories, I remember my wrestling match. I remember how I wrestled with God after being filled with this Holy Ghost and coming to church. And I found myself in a place where I was, playing church. None of you guys know this, but let me explain. You would come to church every time you could, right? And you would put on your clean clothes, right? And you would look right. And when it's time to pray, you prayed. And when it's time to shout, you shout, right? But there's death inside. You had nothing inside of you. But you go through the motion. That's playing church, right? Yeah. And every time there's an activity or a function, you go to it, you're part of it, so people see you and you shake the hands and you're just being involved. You're just being there, right? But you're never connected. Amen? Because I had a wall. And at an altar, God sobered me up. When I was about 24, 25 years old, I came to an altar and God sobered me up. And I knew, okay, there's something to this God thing. But I never knew that the love of God was for me. I knew it was for, okay, these clean people. But for me, no, I got to earn it. I got to earn the love of God. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be here. I'm going to do this. If the trash needs to be taken out, if there's a vacuuming, if there's a project, if you need to move chairs, I'm going to earn the love of God. That's how I'm going to get it. I'm just going to earn it. Right? This is me. So I tried to break myself. If there was a play, I would try to humiliate myself. But being involved in a play, because I knew I had so much pride in me. So, well, that's how I do it. Let me just humiliate myself and be up here and put on a silly beard or silly costume and be part of a play. And I would try to do these things every year, over and over, all these things, every service to earn my salvation and earn the love of God and earn the respect of people. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
But I was moving farther and further away from God. Because I was trying to connect with something that wasn't even real. How many know that God loves us?
Yeah.
I came to God with so much baggage. But it was about 10 years ago. 10 years ago, there was a family conference. The Oregon District had a family conference in Vancouver, which is weird. But I'm like, cool, this is like 5 minutes from the house. Let's go. And we get there. And it was one of those services like you feel like something's about to happen. It was the anticipation in my spirit. And I'm going through the motions, this and that, and it was great preaching. I don't even know who preached because I'm just, yeah, what? And I had made it up in my mind because if I'm going to earn salvation, if I'm going to earn the love of God, I need to start reaching to souls. Because if I'm reaching to souls, then I can earn my way into heaven, right? So I made it my mission. If there's anybody by themselves at altar time, I'm going to go to them and pray with them. Because that's how I earn it. If anybody's by themselves, I'm going to go to them. Of course, it's family conference. Everybody's, you know, you've been to family conference and it's just loud. It's good. The Spirit of God's there. And we're doing this and that. And I stand back and I'm looking around and everybody has somebody. Everybody's at the altar praying through and all that. And I'm like, man, okay, there's no people. So I turn all the way around and there's a guy against the back wall. And he's standing there, his foot's against the wall, and he's doing one of these, you know, just leaning up against the wall. And I'm like, boom, that's it. That's my ticket to heaven. And I go and I introduce myself. I shake his hand and I tell him, hey, my name is Joe. What's your name? I don't remember his name. Because he's looking at me and he says, so you're the one. I'm like, okay, yeah, what? I said, what do you mean you're the one? And he said this. He said, a week ago, God woke me up and told me that I need to get to the Oregon District Conference that's going to be in Vancouver. And there's going to be a guy who shakes your hand. And I have a message for him. This guy drove from Florida. He couldn't fly. He didn't have money to fly, so he drove. And he gets there. He sits through all services. He didn't know anybody there, I found out. He didn't know anybody in that service because God moved on him to give me a message. And it humbled me and it scared me at the same time. Because he said, God told him that the first person to shake his hand, the message was for. And it broke my heart that he had gone through an entire service, one of our services, at a family conference, and no one shook his hand. That messed with me. I'm like, why are there people in our services showing up to our churches that aren't greeted by the body of Christ? Why aren't his body reaching to souls? Why are we so busy chatting it up with so-and-so that I'm going to talk to every day for the next week when there's a soul? Who knows? We're on their last day. They're on their deathbed. They're on their issue. And they're in a service where God can meet them. And no one shakes their hand. That messed me up. That's the first thing I learned. Affects me still. But his message was this. You're going to lead these people. And that was it. I'm like, what do you mean lead these people? Not me. That was my first. Nope. Not me. And then he said, I'm done. I shared the message. Lord bless you. And he left. Wow. I see my pastor and I was like, hey, do you know that guy? And I told him the story. And the pastor says, well, do they know that? And he pointed to the district board. I hadn't got my license yet. I hadn't done anything. I was helping out in Sunday school. I had no role of any kind, no position, nothing. I was earning my way, right? And he said, do they know? Because if the board knew, then I could be used in the ministry, amen? And I said, no, I just knew. I just found out. And for 10 years, I wrestled with that. I wrestled with that idea that I can be used till I came to this idea that I heard preached and it's been confirmed over and over and over. To lead people, you have to serve people.
Amen.
If you're going to be a good leader, amen, you have to know how to serve people.
Yeah.
There's a need, you serve it. You find a way to do it. Me and Brother Mike talked about we're not leading unless someone's following.
That's true.
We're just wandering if no one's following us, right? And God began to work on me, and he gave me that, and every now and then he'd bring it to my mind when I was feeling like I wasn't enough, and my past would come up, and who I thought I was, and every dent and ding and crack in my spirit and character would be revealed, it would be shown, and I'd feel like such a failure, and guilt and condemnation, and an opportunity would come up to minister, and I'd be like, nope, nope. And it got to a point where God would have something simple like, can you go pray for him? I'm like, no, he needs to pray for me. And I missed out on seeing God move because I was so caught up in what I was not. And I forgot about his love that says, yeah, I am his, that says, yeah, I am enough. So God had to use his word because I trusted his word. I knew my words had no value, so he gave me his word. And I look in the book of Colossians, and this is where God really messed me up. Because I hear it preached all the time about the oneness of God. And in verse 9 it says, for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's where the apostolic one God people say amen.
Amen.
The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. God robed himself in flesh. We still believe that?
Yes.
That's our doctrine. That's our base. That's our foundation. Amen.
Amen.
But the story doesn't stop there. He establishes who he is. And in verse 10, he establishes who we are. Verse 10 says this, and you are complete in him. Somebody get this. You are complete in him. He is the head of all principalities and power. Every demon and the devil that has lied to you and told you that you're not enough, he is above that. His word supersedes that. You are complete in him. Every crack and fracture in your spirit that is broken and was taken away from you by the world and by the devil that you freely gave and that other people gave, it's gone in some rights, but God says, no, That's me shining, able to shine through now. Because there's a hole there, now I can shine that much more. Your pain and your grief and everything you went through up to this point is for a reason, so that I can shine into this world through every crack you have, through every blemish that you have. They can see a reflection of me in your life. Amen, somebody. It's because he loves us that we're complete in him. It's because he loves us that he established authority and dominion over every principality of the air. Everything is under his feet. Amen. And all I had to do was bow my flesh to his feet. Amen. And once I bowed my flesh to his feet, then I became complete and whole. I was no longer just a stupid, messed up old drunk. Now I'm a man of God who has a wife and a kid, and I have purpose in my life, and I have direction, and I have value now. Amen, somebody. And that's only by the grace of God. Somebody hear that. That's only by the love of God that we stand here today whole. Amen. We all have a story. You have your story, I have mine. And this is just how mine sounds. The Lord has put opportunities to serve him in your life. He's given you opportunities to step out into faith and be used of God. But you have disqualified yourself. You said, no, I can't do that. That's not me. I can't be used like that. That's so-and-so's deal. That's so-and-so's deal. We just read in scripture how there's one body and one spirit. And if he put his spirit in you, he can use you however he wants. All you got to do is yield to it. Does that make sense? We like to disqualify ourselves because we're still looking back at the cross. We're still looking back at the waters, right? The other side of the waters when God says, no. We're looking to a place whose builder and maker is God. We're marching forward this way. Why are you looking back and looking for chariots and horses? Why are you looking back to the old life? Why are you looking at Egypt? We need to move forward to some better things. Amen? God convicted me and he says, you're exalting yourself.
Ooh.
Wow.
And it was confirmed this week again in the preacher. He said, do you know what the throne of Lucifer is? How many have been listening to the Issachar Project?
Yeah.
That's beautiful stuff. But Brother Mark Morgan talked about the throne of Lucifer, how he wanted to exalt himself above everything, above the stars, above everything. And I found myself doing that because every fault became the overriding thing. Every excuse I had, every wall became the thing I elevated and brought up in the face of God when he said, hey, I need you to do this. And like, nope, I'm this. Nope, I'm this. Nope, I'm this. I began to build a throne for myself of my failures. It became an idol that I began to worship more than God. Because anything I put above his word and his love is an idol in my life. So he came to get rid of those things. Does this make sense, somebody?
Yeah.
I have this in my notes because I think we need to hear it. But the day will come when you're not described as sober. And recovery isn't where you live anymore. When people still don't think of you as an addict. You have a new life.
Yes. Yeah.
You have new friends.
Yes.
Safety is for you. Mm-hmm. Peace is for you.
Thank you, Lord.
There is a ministry for you.
Amen.
And souls are counting on you.
Amen.
I don't want anyone's blood to be on my hands because of an excuse I had. Amen?
Amen.
We can be embarrassed by our situation. But if we look around, we all have a story. We've all come to a place where the things we've done and the things we've been through have been embarrassing. And some people just cover it up better than others.
Yeah.
Some people put a filter or a smiley face. Some people put clothes, some people put this, some people put that, but we all got things we're embarrassed of. But when you lay them down at the feet of Jesus and he puts his love and his blood and his mercy over it, we can rise up from that place and move forward out of the ashes, moving into light. Amen?
Yes.
He can pull us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen?
Yes.
I'm thankful for a God who loved us.
I
think about these guys in the Bible, Gideon and Moses and Paul. They all had their hang up, but they were used by God.
Yeah, yeah.
They had their excuses. They brought them out before God, even in his face. He's like, well, I know you want to use me, but can you do this miracle? Okay, I know you did that miracle, but can you do it? Can you do it this way, though? I know you did it that way, but can you do it this way, though? And it's all these stipulations on before God can use you. And God's just looking for someone who's willing to be used.
Yeah.
Amen? Peter and Judas ate at the same table with Jesus. They broke bread together at the same table. They both messed up. But Jesus knew their hearts, and he still loved them both.
Yes.
And Peter found a place of repentance, and Judas found a place at the feet of his idol. How do I get out of my hang-ups? There's some structure. There's some things that we can do.
Yeah.
For me, I had to get in his word. I had to get enough of this word inside my heart and inside my mind so when those excuses and those ideas came up, I can override them and shut them down with the word of God. I needed to learn how to pray in the Holy Ghost till I felt his presence again.
Yeah.
I needed to let that spirit flow through me, amen? I needed to let the presence of God burn all the flesh out of me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I had to stay into his presence till it was no longer me. It was just him and me. I had to cut out distractions and remove some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to stay focused. And the hard one was I had to be accountable. I had to have some people to speak into my life. Hey, are you all right? What can we pray about? And I had to execute it consistently, daily, hourly, minute by minute. I had to. I'm teaching a Bible study now because I believe in the authority and the power of God's word and the ability of it to change the people's lives. So I don't take it and just read it in the house of God. I take the word of God and I step into people's homes and families' homes who are going through situations and I show them the word of God. And I see the look on their face when they get it, when they get the revelation of, wow, God spoke these things so long ago so that I have hope. And I pray that I can teach Bible studies for as long as that I can.
Yes.
And I just finished up our last Bible study. We're going through the tabernacle, and I have to break that up into two lessons, exploring God's word, because I put so much into it. I don't want to just skip it. There's so much depth there. I was told that it should be 45 minutes. I've never done a 45-minute lesson in my life. 3 hours, maybe. But we're teaching and teaching and teaching, and God begins to show me. We're going the different articles there, and if you understand the tabernacle, how many have been through exploring God's word, Bible study?
Amen.
Nobody? How many teach exploring God's word? All right. How many of you know, who can tell me what the articles in that tabernacle were? What's the first thing you saw? Trick question. You see the tent first. Because it was about this high. You're going to just look over and see, and you saw the tent. You saw white linen. You saw that, hey, there's something going on here that's clean and different and separate from all the dust of this earth. There's something special going on here. I need to go. Where's the, there's only one entrance? Okay, let me go to that entrance. What's the first thing you see at that one entrance? Altar of sacrifice. The very first thing you see, was it a very pleasant thing? What would you find at that altar? Blood, animals, death, stank, fire. A lot of stuff, right? What's the next thing you would find? The brazen laver, amen? And I got stuck while I was teaching this because God was trying to show me something, but I have to teach this Bible study. And I'm like, okay, God, what are you trying to show me? Real quick, God, hold on, come on, fast forward. And he was like, put a tab in that and read that later. Finish the Bible study, go home, and I start reading in Exodus chapter 27. It mentions the brazen altar and the brazen laver. It's overlaid with brass. Amen? You get to Exodus 30, and it describes how the priests would wash their feet, and then they would wash their hands in that laver. And then I look at Exodus chapter 38, verse 8. And the Bible says that it describes it as bronze mirrors. It says, and he made a laver of brass and the foot of it of brass and the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. When I read this, I think, okay, that's a compact mirror, right? They were shined up at some point, so there was a reflection that they could see in it, right? It was a looking glass. It was reflective. You shine up brass enough, it gets pretty shiny. And you put some water in it, it becomes very reflective. And God began to show me this, is that after that horrific sign of that altar. They go in and it's a gruesome scene. The very first thing you see is so gruesome because sin is ugly. Amen. And it has to be dealt with quickly. Amen. It has to be dealt with in a way that it just needs to be cut off. Amen. Sin just needs to be cut off. Amen. If you got sin in your life, you just need to cut it off. Because there's some steps that are coming that God wants to take you in that sin has no part in. And you'll never experience the things God has for you because of the sin in your life. So it has to be very abrupt, very rude, very just, nah. There's no, well, I'll just wean it off and just toe. No, just get rid of sin. Because when you get to that laver, God began to show me this, is that the priests would go up and they would wash their feet to be clean because they're about to go into a holy place, the Holy of Holies. And they begin to wash their hands. And God was showing me this, is that as they're washing their hands, they would stand there washing. Till the waters were so consumed with the blood that there was no reflection of themselves anymore. See, when they're washing their feet, it was fine. But when they're standing there, they could still see themselves in the water. But when that blood began to cloud the water, there was no reflection of them anymore. And this spoke to my heart because every time God tried to reach to me and take me deeper into his walk, I became, I'm too dirty, I'm too this, I'm too that. And God wants the blood of Jesus to be a forefront in our minds to know that you are covered with his blood and you are washed in his name. So if you got that blood in you, there is no more reflection of you. There is no more you're taking into this place. You're taking the blood of Jesus into this place. It's the blood that will carry you into the Holy of Holies. It's the blood that take you into that newness of life. It's not your reflection or your talents or your gifts. None of that will get you into the presence of God. You can't earn your way into the presence of God. It's the blood and the love of Jesus Christ that will bring you into that place. Does this make sense, somebody? It's because he loved us that he shed his blood that we're entering into that holy place where his glory was. I want to be in the glory of God because it's in the glory of God that Moses and Aaron found that they couldn't even minister. It wasn't about them having a pulpit and a microphone and them being the one that everyone looks at. It wasn't about any of that. It was about the glory of God being shown because some blood was shed. And there was no reflection of people. Amen? Amen. That's powerful to me. God showed his love and he shed his blood. I need us to understand that the love of God is for you today. When you apply what Calvary did, when you repent, when you're born again of the water and spirit, like the scriptures declare, Jesus even said it, unless you're born of the water and of the spirit, you cannot. You cannot. You cannot. You cannot make it to heaven. And that breaks my heart because there's people who have a portion of the things of God, but they're not going to make it according to the scripture, fulfillment of scripture. I'm not going to argue with God and say who goes in and who doesn't go in. That's not my place. I've said it before. There's one God and he's not hiring. Amen. I'm not his apprentice. I'm none of that. I'm his son. And I'm going to let him be God. But I know the word of God, and I know he's not a liar. So he will be accountable to his word. Amen. And if the word declares I need to repent, then I'm going to repent. Amen. Amen. The word of God says I need to be baptized in his name, I'm going to get baptized in his name. Amen. Amen. If the Bible says that if I don't have his spirit, I'm not his, I'm going to get his spirit. Amen. And I'm going to stay there until I get it. I'm going to do whatever I need to make sure that I have his spirit living inside of me. Because I don't know if we understand this. If we don't have his spirit, I'm not going to be able to be translated to where he's at. That's a heavy word, but it's still the truth. Amen? It's in the presence of God that we change. It's our message. Amen? Pastor said it like this. He said, I want to be used of God. I want to paint my world with the brushstrokes of God's love. I want to paint my world with brushstrokes of God's love. So everything I see out there, I can put the love of God over. I see this person, how they're dressed and how they're acting. I want to paint them and see what they could be through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Just like God saw you. Just like God saw you and all of your faults and all your this. And we look at people and we're like, oh, that's horrible. Let's just go away. Let's not look. But we got to look and see what they could be because that's a soul. Amen? Amen. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And we shout about that and we love that because it's the power of the blood that puts the devil under our feet. Amen. Amen. But it didn't stop there. He says you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony.
Yeah.
At some point, the blood has to mix with your testimony, and it's got to activate you and stir something in you. You get a fire shut up in your bones where you have to teach somebody a Bible study. You have to tell somebody about the love of God. You have to reach to somebody. Does this make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just something you do inside this house. It's something that we take out and we live. It's part of who we are. We're only alive today because of the love of God. Amen?
Yeah.
It's because of the love of God that we have breath in our bodies today. Amen? I don't know about you, but that can't get old. It can't get old because Jesus is coming soon. Amen. He's coming very quickly. And I want to be found in the field. The Bible says there's two in the field and one was taken. I don't want to be working in the field so separate from God, trying to earn my way into salvation without acknowledging Him and applying Him. I don't want to be denying the field because I disqualified myself and God asked me to do something and to go somewhere and to say something and I never did. I don't want to be that person. And I don't want you to be that person. I want God to use you in the full potential that you can be. Amen? I read where Paul, I read Peter, I read the apostles, I read the book of Acts, and I read a statement that said that they turned the city upside down. And I look at our city, and I wonder what it would look like if it was upside down. I wonder what it would look like if marriage was restored from man and woman. If it was one man, one woman. If children had their fathers in their lives. Amen? If children didn't have to grow up abused and left out on the streets for some drugs and stuff, but were felt loved and were able to be groomed the right way for knowledge and to be a productive member of society. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I wonder what it would look like if things were put back into order where it wasn't shadiness and shiftiness, but there was honesty and righteousness was restored. And I begin to look and I'm like, that can't happen here because this is all going to burn. All I can do is deal with the souls. So let me get to them to a place where it is right side up. Where there is righteousness, where there is the glory of God in heaven. Amen? I want to make sure that I'm living the right life and not disqualifying myself. I want to make sure that I'm in a place where I can live the scripture that says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want to be that person. Amen? If you would stand. My timer's telling me to stop. I don't know if I shared it here, but I heard that if you don't strike gold in the first 20 minutes, then you need to quit boring. But I want to pray that the Lord would saturate us with His love so that when we go into our world, we don't have an excuse when God says, hey, can you show some love? Can you pray with that person who's complaining? The person who's in their divorce, the person who came to work with a black eye because they fell down over an air compressor. Now they have to walk through the rest of the day feeling like trash. I've been intimidated to pray with a manager at work. I've been intimidated to witness and invite people at work. But I'm not that way no more. I understand this, is that I'm accountable to God one day for their soul. So if it means I need to say hi to somebody, if it means I need to pray for somebody, if it means I need to buy someone's coffee, I'm going to do that. Because a soul matters. And if it's the love of God that they can feel at that moment in their hopelessness, then it's all worth it. It's all worth it. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's pray that God would make us sensitive to His Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
Not sensitive as in a weak person, but sensitive as understanding that our weakness is His strength.
Yeah.
Amen? That He would take everything that we think is wrong with us and He would use it for His glory. If He would take my criminal record and I lay it down in His hands and it allows me to go into Columbia River Corrections and preach the gospel message to people and say, I know what it's like over here, but I know what it's like over here. If God could use my testimony to reach somebody, why can't He use yours? Why can't He use your story? Why can't He use what God has done for you? Amen?
Yeah.
Let's pray and ask God to help us today. Jesus, we need you in this hour, my God. I know your return is very soon, oh God. I know your hand, my God, is reaching the arm, my God, of your throne, my God, ready to step up, my God, out of your place, out of your righteousness, out of your established dominion, my God, and ready to set foot on this earth again, oh Lord. I pray, my God, that when you come back, Lord, that you would find people of prayer here at Portland Pentecostals. You would find people, my God, between the porch and the altar that are interceding for our city and for the souls of this world, my God. That you would find people in the mission field, honestly, my God, reaching to souls, oh God. Living, my God, into the divine call that you have called them to be in, my God. I'm praying that you would stir us and show us with your eyes, my God, the need of the hour, the need in our city. I'm praying, my God, that you would raise us up to fill those needs, my God, whether it's in government, my God, whether it's in the school, Lord Jesus, or on our workplace, my God, in our communities, Lord, that you would begin to raise us up and put us in those positions of influence that we would show your love, my God. I'm praying right now that you would stir us, my God, from the first to the last, to the youngest to the oldest, my God, that you would use us, my God, as your people called by your name to affect the souls of this city, oh God. I pray right now by the authority of the word of God and the power of the name of Jesus that you shut the mouth of the accuser, that you rebuke the devourer, my God, that you remove every lie, my God, that the enemy has planted into our spirits. We no longer accept it. We cast it down, every imagination that it would exalt itself, my God, that would exalt itself against you, oh God, against your knowledge, against your will, against your love, my God. I pray today, Lord, that we would begin to walk in your love like never before, that the words we speak would be in love, that when we reach in love, when we go to work, we do it in love, oh God, when we're at home, we do it with love, oh God, that we would be a people called by your name, my God. But I pray right now that we humble ourselves, Lord, we humble ourselves in your presence, and we yield to your hand, we yield, my God, you are the potter, and we are the clay, mold us and shape us, hallelujah, that you be the God of our hearts. Take the throne of our hearts. Lead us into your way, my God. Reveal your plan to us every day, every minute, every hour, Lord. Lead us in your way, into your path, my God. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. I know you've begun a good work, oh God, and I know you're faithful to finish it, my God. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us, my God, and we are complete in you, my God. And I thank you for loving us. And the church said, in Jesus' name,
Jesus.
In Jesus' name.